Hi and welcome back, Bianca.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoyed that little break.
I did.
Now, one of the things I was thinking about during that break was a lot of people get labelled with dementia, yeah?
Mm.
Now, dementia has lots of different stages, doesn't it? And lots of different types.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about maybe some of the stages and maybe some of the types?
Okay, I'll start with what is dementia.
Perfect.
So dementia is like an umbrella term for over 100 different types of the syndrome.
Wow.
Okay. So, and Alzheimer's disease is actually one of those over 100 different types that sits underneath that umbrella of dementia. So people always ask me, what's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? Dementia's the umbrella term. Alzheimer's disease is one of those over 100 types of dementia.
Wow.
So when you're looking at a diagnosis of dementia, what usually happens is that people start doing things that are not quite right, and they're usually picking up on it themselves, and then family members actually start seeing changes in the person. So that's kind of like the beginnings of memory loss, so to speak.
How do we know the difference? Because as a mature lady or getting to mature age, how do we know the difference? And we forget a lot of stuff when we're going through the menopause and that. Not that I'm there yet. But how do we know the difference, would you say?
Yeah, okay. So I like to explain it as like when we're getting into our senior years, memory loss is not a sign of aging, okay? It's not normal to have memory loss, right? Okay. But we are at a stage of our lives where we've had a lot of life experience.
Mm.
And I like to see our brain as a filing cabinet. And sometimes we have that much information in our heads that occasionally things fall out, right? Okay. And until we're reminded to pick it up off the floor and put it back, That's memory loss, and a lot of that happens with stress or in an environment where we're trying to think of something quickly and we've got to go through that huge filing cabinet.
Yeah.
Right? So that's nothing to worry about.
Interesting. Mm.
So when we are having short-term memory loss or in the beginning stages of a type of dementia, what happens is that the things that we're not remembering or not quite doing right affects the way that we live.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more than just not remembering or opening the cupboard and wondering why we're in there.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
This is something we all do.
Yeah. It's like going for a cup of tea and getting out a bag of flour. It's not quite recognising. You know you're in there for something. You know that you want the tea, but maybe picking out the bag of flour.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. That's quite interesting. Mm. So go back again. You were telling me about the stages.
Okay. So that's kind of the early stages where it's starting to affect the way you do things, and people are noticing, like, you know, just things aren't quite right.
Yeah.
Then you get to like the moderate stages of dementia where occasionally you're trying to find your words, or the words aren't quite coming out right, or you don't have the ability to sequence your tasks, like making a cup of coffee. You know, you kind of maybe can't recognise the kettle.
As being a kettle,
you know what you want, you know what it is, but it's not within your line of vision, even though it's right there.
Yeah.
And the advanced stages of dementia are where you are usually communicating more in gestures and sounds rather than words and sentences.
Okay.
And that's where the really deep and meaningful kind of spark of life philosophy comes in.
Okay. So what when you talk about that's where the spark of life philosophy comes in, what do you mean by that?
By giving people still hope that they can be understood and actually igniting their spark for living and actually, you know, seeing that person behind the disease, behind the dementia, behind the difficulties that you're having, and still seeing that person as a person.
Yeah.
And knowing that they're there and having the ability to bring them out.
That is amazing. Because that's what I felt a long time ago. People would look at my nan, you know, and I could still see the real person in there, but I felt like people that were caring for, and not everyone, because this is a long time ago, would see this person with dementia.
Yeah.
You know, we were never explained this is what would happen, or, you know, and trying to deal with that I mean, don't get me wrong, we had some really funny times. I remember one time when I used to stay with my nan, and we lived on the 16th floor of a block of flats. And she said to me, she came in the bedroom and she said to me, get the cat in off the window. And for one, we didn't have a cat, you know. And for two, we were on the 16th floor of a block of flats. And when I turned around and I said to her, Nan, we don't have a cat and we're in a block of flats, she found that hysterical. You know, she could actually laugh at some of the things that she was doing.
Yeah.
And she had a great sense of humour, so yeah. I felt like that kept her. But we were very honest with that.
Yeah.
So it was like, that is not normal, you know?
And a lot of people in the advanced, even the advanced stages of dementia, are very aware that their brain's not making sense.
Yeah.
So just because they've got a dementia of any sort doesn't mean that they're not a person.
No, that's
doesn't
right.
mean they can't think.
Yeah, that's
it's just
right.
You know, the brain's a very creative thing, and yeah. and they're just finding ways to do that makes sense to them and trying to get you to understand. So it's up to us to actually try and figure out what the person's saying. If they're not making sense to you, it's because you're not stepping into their world.
That's right. Now, talking about stepping into their world, I knew we were going to do this this interview. And as I say, you know, you're very advanced in this area where you work, but I wasn't. So I decided to have a little look around, and I actually found, I think it was in Holland, but there's a place.
Mm.
Now you're nodding there, you must have known the place I'm talking to. Yeah. It's like a village.
It is.
Where beautiful. It's very secure, and people with dementia of all stages can live a really positive, full life here.
Yeah,
it just blew my mind.
Yeah, it's called Dihodjowick Village.
Dihodjowick Village,
yeah.
Okay.
And there's some really good YouTubes on it, yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Just, I think if you Google Dementia Village, it pretty much comes up straight away. Yeah.
Now, how would you say that would work here in Australia?
It's my absolute dream to have something like this in Australia, and I know they're working towards it in the eastern states. But in Western Australia, there's nothing yet. So if there's any philanthropists out there that have nothing to do with a spare couple of million, come and see me. We can spend it well.
Yeah. And if you want to have a look, it's called the what?
Dihodjowick.
Dihodjowick.
Yeah.
And it's in Holland, isn't
yeah,
it? Yeah. It's just amazing. For all the people out there who are listening who maybe have a relative with dementia or a family member or a friend.
We can set homes up, like your own home up like this to actually fulfill the person's needs, the one that's living with dementia, and also have it to be a supportive environment for the family as well.
Excellent.
It's all about, you know, looking in your own area for what's available.
So this village, you can actually sort of facilitate that within someone's own home so they can live a really normal life within their own home, surrounded by their
as
own
much
family.
As possible.
Now, that gives real hope to a lot of people, you know, because I think sometimes people think they've had this diagnosis, okay, what do I do now?
Yeah.
You know?
And it's quite debilitating when you do get a diagnosis of dementia, because there's such stigma attached to it.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's kind of my role in what I do, is to destigmatize dementia and actually see it as just another disease like arthritis or cancer that we all live with.
Yeah.
And we live our lives well. So just getting over that kind of boundary of, yes, we do have a diagnosis of dementia. Now let's see what we can do to make the rest of this person's life and the supportive partners around them as full and as enjoyable as possible.
Excellent. Now, just before we finish, I quickly wanted to talk to you about something that happened to me. Now, you know I'm a psychic medium. And when I was working on the community one time, I remember going to a lady's house who was on a lot of medication. She was on a pain medication at the time, and I was going to look after and assess her pain. And it was quite funny because she said to me, like, no one knew I could do this when, you know, I didn't tell anyone that I could, I was a medium, especially not in palliative care, but I didn't tell anyone. And when I went to this lady's house, I remember she said to me, my family have all just been here and they've gone in the other room because they're a little bit shy, but they're waiting for me to go. And I was a bit blown away by this, and I was thinking, okay, so this lady, is she actually seeing spirits? Because I couldn't see them, because she said she'd gone into the next room, but I didn't see them anywhere, you know? And I couldn't quite feel it. But I just didn't know whether she'd actually... What's your take on that? Okay. Can they... Do you believe that people with dementia... Because some people say they live in a parallel world or in a intermediate gap, if you like, between our realm and the spirit realm.
Yeah.
And that would have made sense to me for what this lady was saying.
Okay. Yeah. So my thoughts on that are, is if the world that person in is not supportive of them and is not understanding of what their needs are, why wouldn't you go into a world where there are people that love you? And that you're feeling supported and you're feeling safe.
But, you know, that could raise probably some issues with people saying, well, I do support my mum and, you know, and I do support my dad.
Yeah.
But they still say that they can see the nan or a relative of mine that's passed.
Yeah.
So
sometimes it's about that feeling of safety, and that sometimes... In the world we're in, we don't get that unconditional love. And I think that's what people with dementia actually look for, is that it doesn't matter what I am or who I am, these people still love me.
So do you think that actually, like, I can do seeing spirits or not seeing spirits, or what do you
think? I don't know, because I can't see into their brains. But I, you know, and me being a spiritual person,
just looking at your... perspective, really, as being working with people with dementia, and then looking at from my point of view, I would like to, the way I got my head around it was, I thought about when we were children, we could see stuff like
this,
and we had no boundaries, we had no worries about what people thought about us when we could see a spirit, you know? And a lot of the time, as you grow older, as it did in my life, it faded out and then it faded back in again. But I just wonder, for people with dementia, because they've got no fear as such, do you think that could possibly be a way of coming back in?
I think it could possibly be a way of coming back in, for sure.
It's quite interesting,
isn't
it?
It's very interesting. And the things, the information that you get from them when they're speaking to these people...
See, this is it.
...is very, very interesting. And, you know, asking them questions about what the people that they're seeing, even if you can't, are saying, and why... You never ask a person with dementia why, because a lot of the time they don't know why.
Yeah.
But, you know, how that... person is acting and what they're saying usually gives you a good idea into what they're missing in this world.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. So would you say to encourage, not encourage, but, you know, a lot of the time I heard many years ago people that was talking to people that have passed, and they'd say, no, you know, your mother died in 1946. Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a really hard one to get around. But if you're saying that your mother died in 1946 and you're saying that to a person who's deeply forgetful 10 or 15 times a day, you're actually igniting that whole grieving process.
See, that
all
was
over
my
again.
Fear. Yeah. That was the thing that I was afraid of.
So what they're asking for in that circumstance is, if they're seeing their mother who died in 1946, they're actually looking for that unconditional love. That person is I'm...
So they're getting some comfort
absolutely,
from it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you wouldn't poo-poo it?
No.
So what would you do?
Tell me about your mum. What was she like? What was so special about her that you miss?
Oh, fantastic.
You know? She's not here at the moment, so tell me about her. What was so special?
How beautiful is that? That is an amazing alternative to what we were taught as junior nurses. Well, not taught, because we didn't... There wasn't a nurse come out and said to us, this is what you must do.
Yeah.
But we didn't know any better, you know? So this is
that
a beautiful
feeling. It's
thing.
The feelings that they want. Yeah. Not so much the person, it's the feelings.
Yeah. And as people listening to this show, they hear me talk about my mum and the loss of my mum, you know, when she was 47 and I was only 27. And that was a really terrible time in my life. And I often think to myself, when I could see people with dementia and going through that, and I used to think, oh my God, imagine having to relive, like exactly what you said, that feeling every time someone said, actually, your mum died a long time ago, you know? So that is some really good points that you've brought up. So just quickly tell us, Bianca, if people are going through living with people with dementia and they would like to get some more help, how can they contact you?
They can contact me on my website, which is www.heart2heartconnections. That's H-E-A-R-T, number two, heartconnections.live, L-I-V-E.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what kinds of things would they come to you for?
Well, just support on how to work with their person living with dementia, how to provide the best life for that person with dementia, you know, support around caring for yourself as a supportive partner as well.
Excellent. And you're an independent practitioner,
yes,
aren't you?
Yes, I am.
So people can contact you and they won't be attached to any facilities or any places.
And I do support people to find beautiful places to be if it ever comes to that, and they cannot support their loved one at home anymore because of safety reasons or just the inability to cope.
Okay.
And that does happen. And it's something that we do talk about a lot.
But you go through that step by
step
with them.
Yeah.
What an amazing lady you are, and what a fantastic job you do.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming and sharing all your knowledge with us. And just sitting and having a conversation with me. It's been amazing. I've loved it.
I've loved it too.
So,
thank you.
Bianca, please don't go away. I'm going to, after the break, you come back, and I'll, as always, I'll do a little mini reading for Bianca and see what the future holds for her. Okay, so I hope you've enjoyed that. What an interesting topic. So stay tuned for Bianca's reading after the break.